Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, host of New Life Live, which has only been on the air about 25 years. My two hosts, co-hosts today, who are just a tad older than 25, Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Good to be with you, as always, and the third member who people love because she says things like, well, now, honey, and sweetie, and things like that, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. I'm doing great.
We're good. All doing great.
Yeah, good. That's so much better than how you were doing last time I talked to you. So, hey, let's just go right to our phones. I think on the line here we have, from listening on KKLA, the great station, Tina. Hi, Tina. Welcome to New Life Live and Dr. John Townsend and Sherry Keffer.
Hi, Tina.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you doing?
We are good.
So what's going on?
I have a sister. She's in her 30s. She's recently been diagnosed with bipolar, and she's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. They were down recently for a few months visit, and we noticed that she doesn't have that maternal bond with my 2-year-old niece.
Mm.
She lacks compassion and patience, and she admits it. She admits all this. She doesn't show any affection, no hugs or kisses. She's very obsessed with working out. She's a great fitness coach, but a terrible mother. And
those things are really common. Those things are really common with a bipolar diagnosis. This is kind of what happens often. So you're seeing something that's real,
right? That's my question. Is this something that's common with the people that have bipolar as parents? I just want to know how I can support her. I feel really helpless being here on the West Coast.
Number one, the best way a sibling can support somebody who has a disorder like that is to, in every way, to support their being in the growth process. And that means two things. Are you taking your medication? Because there are some bipolars that are not medication-based, but so many are. And number two, are you getting a talk counselor? That's not the medication part. A therapist, a psychologist, are you getting the talk help? And if, when your conversations with her, don't get lost in the sibling, well, why aren't you nicer to your kids? Can't you open up more? Can't you, like, obsess less on your workouts? They can't hear you because their brain can't work. Your best thing is to keep them on the operating table and say, are you going to your meetings?
Right. I've been very, very gentle with her, talking with her, because I also have an anxiety disorder. And we had a very critical and abusive upbringing with my mother. And so I have gone through so many, therapy sessions over the years. I've read so many books, and it all makes sense of why things are, how they kind of worked out in my favor with going to church and going to therapy sessions, where she's just barely starting out. And so I'm trying to,
This is bringing some emotion in you. I heard a tremble in your voice. What's that?
Yeah.
What's the feeling?
I guess that's the rescuer in me.
You heard another show that Steve and Sherry and I did, and Sherry pointed out rescue, and you feel something.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break, because rescuers tend to not do the helping the sibling thing very well, and we'll help you on that. All right.
What's your question for us, just so we can know? Can you formulate a question? We've got just a few seconds here to hear you.
Just steps that I need to take. That's you know, that's going to be respectful, but yet not critical.
Yeah, how can I encourage her, not rescue her, and not be critical and do it right? It's a good question.
Right.
Perfect. Well, we will be right back.
2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas's house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
You can reach Gil Travel at 1-800-223-3855, extension 240 or 260.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back talking with Tina. Well, John and Sherry are talking with Tina about the bipolar sister, and I'll just let you guys continue.
Still with us, Tina?
Yes.
So you said, yes, I have realized that I can be a rescuer, and you had some emotions about that. And actually, okay, you know, we're shrinks here, so when we hear feelings, what were the feelings that you had when you identified yourself as a rescuer? They were pretty strong feelings.
Yeah, well, I think her husband may be controlling, and I see signs that I went through with my first marriage. He was an abusive, a controlling person, and we had to choose, like, you know, either go home to mom, who's very verbally abusive and critical, or go live with the abusive husband that's pretty much going to, you know, be out of the house, but you have to deal with that abuse. And I see her being in that same picture that I was in,
and that's rough.
I was trying to rescue her from, you know, not having to endure all that.
Yeah, you know how bad it was, and you don't want to see her hurt.
Exactly. She's my younger sister, and I know she wasn't going to talk therapy. I tried to get her to see my doctors out here when she was here on the West Coast, and she refused. She wanted to wait because she went back to the East Coast. But I noticed the doctor was on the phone, and he had told her, you know, if whatever she wanted, he can prescribe to her on the phone. And I looked at her, and I said, oh, no, that's not a good doctor.
No, that's
I'm like,
not
what
a
kind
good
of doctor
sign.
Is that?
That's not a good sign.
Right, and so I just feel helpless being here. I feel like she's not taking care of herself, let alone taking care of my niece.
So let me tell you what might be a way to intervene without having to caretake. So first off, I'm really proud of you for doing your own work in healing. That is gold. And so what you have is something to offer her. But how you can come to her is really in vulnerability. She's been used, both of you have been used to critical and abusive mom, right? Controlling. That's the last thing she needs. And when we get fearful, sometimes we become critical and controlling. When you feel fear, sometimes that's what we go to try to get someone to help. But if you go belly up with her and start bringing her what you're learning and the ahas that are coming to you, having grown up with the same mom, and then if you ask to talk to your niece, when you call her, hey, I just wanted to, you know, talk to my niece, and you be loving, you listen well to her niece, you provide that difference while your sister is still in repair. She's still in repair phase, but you can be somebody different. That little niece can go, I love my Aunt Tina. She really listens to me. She really hears my heart. She really asks good questions. So while she may not be getting as much of that from mom, you can be a connector. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. She's two, and she doesn't say any words yet.
Okay.
And, you know, I was talking to her about the potty training coming soon, and she just didn't have any interest of, you know, going that route at all. She just kind of, like, rolled her eyes and... you know, that's what scares me and concerns me, and not just me, but my entire family, that, you know, we all witnessed how she was mothering the child when she was here. and I try to sing songs to her, and I'm showing her.
But
you
it's
know,
like you're looking. Cards. But there's a part of this, Tina, that you're looking at her is incapable. There's a part of it where I go, do you even think she's capable? Because she may be more capable than you think. So
that's right.
Where's the husband?
Well, that's the thing. It's hard to discern if it's lack of capability or.
Is there a husband or a dad in the picture? I'm kind of scared.
Is there a functioning adult in this girl's life
so we can see if she do we need a guardianship situation? Does the state need to come in? If she's so crazy she's not taking care of the kid, we got to do something now. Is there a functioning adult living in that house?
He functions. I'm not sure about his fatherly instincts myself. He's very distant and he doesn't really.
I'm not asking about instincts.
I mean, is it a little girl that's going to stay in a dirty diaper for 8 to 10 hours? That's really
that
what John's asking.
That kind of stuff. I'm not asking about quality relationship.
Right,
I'm a little concerned.
No, I mean,
that was
the borderline that I was dealing with. I was having to tell her she's wet. I need you to answer the question.
Is there a danger to the child in care of serious neglect?
I don't think so.
All right. Then it's just kind of a more of a quality thing, but she's not in danger, right?
No, I don't think she's
all right.
She's not
just
in
need
danger.
To know that. Okay, just kind of got nervous there.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way. I want to see. You know, I just want that certainty that she's in good hands, and that's where I'm at. I just feel stuck. I feel helpless on this side.
And will the father engage with you? And does he live in the home?
He does, but
will he engage with you? And you can say, "Here's my concerns about Sally. I want to make sure that the daughter's got good care and." Because seriously, if you're not sure, listen to me. If you're, I get your concern. You're 3,000 miles away, but if you're not sure this little girl's okay, we got to call the state.
Do
you understand?
That's where I was kind of headed, thinking about you know my decision. Should I go there?
Yes.
This kid's got no advocate if these are not functioning people around.
Would you want someone to go there for you? Sure.
Right. That's what the system's for.
And guess what? Some people might be upset with you, but you can handle it.
If you got a bipolar person who refuses medication, refuses help, and some kind of a ghost father who's sort of in and out that we're very vague about, I'm scared for this little girl. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How does that feel to have John concerned
I'm
to
really
such level?
Firm about this.
Well, that's been my concern all week.
You know, all right. I'm asking if you're going to take action. I'm asking if you're going to take action. This is not like discussion. We're out of theory and kind of wandering. Will you take action?
Yes.
There you go.
Check it out.
Then you're a champion.
Okay, now, little side note here, guys. Sherry, John. What about her making a phone call to that physician, doctor, irresponsible, and saying, "Hey, my sister is counting on you, and what I heard the other day, not healthy."
I wouldn't have a problem with that. He or she may say, "Well, I can't because of HIPAA confidentiality. I can't mention that." But you know what I found out? It's like John chapter 1, where it says that light came in the world through Jesus and darkness didn't comprehend the light. Sometimes shining a light of truth makes people change behavior.
Good, John. That is so true. They've been walking out there in the darkness. They're lost. You come in with a flashlight.
And the cockroaches run to the side. So, you know, bring light on professionals. I think it's a good idea.
And, you know, it may be by making a trip out there, Tina, I want you to be a keen observer. I want you to take John with you. I want you to take his voice with you when you go. And I want you to go in with clinical ears and eyes to the best of your ability. I want you to observe and watch that little baby. Because sometimes when we grow in a home where we cannot trust our parent, we have beliefs that I cannot trust anyone. And that may be manifesting with your sister, is I couldn't trust my mom and I can't trust her to be a mom. And so that may be happening. But if there are some clear defining things that will set that little girl up for being neglected, not having appropriate care, then as he said, you're the champion that needs to call somebody in to help. And we can help you with that if you need to call us back. We can help you.
How's that feel?
Right.
Yeah, we're really behind you. We love that you care about this kid.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Raising Great Kids by John, and then I'm going to send you a tool that I think would really help you, and it's having that difficult conversation. It'll just help you to communicate with her better. And, you know, I wish we could give people that are bipolar a pill that made them realize how close to normal their life would be if they could just be consistent with the medication.
I've seen people come to life on medication that are bipolar, and I just, it is, and I go, stay on it, you know, don't get off when you start feeling better. When they start feeling better because they start to get on the right dose and the right medication, and they become very functional human beings. They do need to kind of watch how much they do, you know, how busy they get, because they get kind of tired quicker, or they get, you know, edgy quicker. But they can have very, very functional lives. And I'm not putting everybody in the same category.
And for the uninformed, this medication we talk about, it doesn't make you high. You know, you don't take it and you're buzzed.
Doped up. You shouldn't feel medication. When you're on good medication, the right dose, you shouldn't feel it. You should just be functional.
You should feel like you.
Yeah.
That's right. Let's go to Jan.
Let's go to Jan.
Havertown, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jan.
WFIL. Jan, how are you?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi.
Great. What's going on in your own personal life today?
Well, I am blessed to have a wonderful husband and a happy marriage, almost 25 years.
Woo-hoo! Then why in the world call us?
Well, I have been the spiritual leader in our home.
How's that feel?
I feel that it's his job, and I would very much...
Actually, that's an opinion. How's that feel?
How's that feel?
To be the spiritual leader.
Try to do it without an opinion. See what happens.
Well, on one hand, it's a great responsibility.
Okay, that's in a thought. We're doing better. There are opinions and thoughts. Let me get you to the other side of your brain. I'm going to give you a menu. I feel alone. I feel frustrated. I feel by myself. I feel disappointed. Now, those are feelings. Do you see the difference?
Okay.
Try it.
Yes. Alone.
There you go.
Okay.
And?
Disappointed.
And sad.
Yeah, I would feel sad too.
For him. Because I think he's missing out.
Hold it. I know you're sad for him, but do you feel sad for you?
I think to a degree. It's not stopping me, or, you know, I'm not stuck in it.
Hey, do this.
Sad doesn't stick us. Sad's okay to feel.
Yeah. Tell us what if he were a spiritual leader in the home, what would he be doing that he's not doing now?
And that's why I'm calling. He's not in the Word. He is not in a men's Bible study. We do go to church together, and we love it. I mean, he's very active in the church as a deacon and an elder, but the personal relationship with Christ is not there for him.
Okay.
So what about that brings you anxiety? What are you scared about? What are you fearful of?
I guess I'm wondering, is he saved?
Okay.
Wow.
What else?
I would think that if he were, he would be... Okay, if a situation comes up that is upsetting in some way, many times his first reaction is how it's affecting him and not, you know, what would God think about this? God isn't the first place he turns. In most circumstances, it's the first place I turn, you know. God, what do you want me to do here? Lead me, show me. He is very dependent on himself. He's very strong. He's a great guy. But I just feel, I think the relationship that he has or had with his father growing up was, his father was very angry and boisterous, and I don't know that he had the loving father that pointed him to Christ like I did.
Okay. Now, Now, what do you say to him about his level of spiritual leadership, and how often do you say it?
I try and bring it up at times with him. I'll ask him to join me in reading a book together. We've done some Bible studies together over the years, and it's just, it doesn't mean to him at all what it means to me. But I will. Occasionally I'll say, hey, I heard about this men's Bible study at such and such a place. Would you be interested? And he says, no, I don't have the time.
Okay. I want to give you some ideas. We'll hear from John and Sherry. I want to give you some ideas on some spiritual leadership things that he might be willing to pay more attention to. I hope so. And we'll do that right after this.
And I have a suggestion for Jan when we come back as
well.
All right. So
let's hear your suggestion when we come back first, and then I'll throw in my one half of 1%. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and your phone calls. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Jan, really disappointed in the leadership, the spiritual leadership in the home with her husband. She's the spiritual leader, and we want to give her some help of how to encourage him. I've got a couple ideas, but let's hear from Sherry first. She says she has the ultimate answer here.
Well, I don't know about that.
She didn't say that. Don't put pressure on Sherry.
Said that this answer would change the scope of history for many people.
Well,
no,
we're,
she didn't
we're
say
hoping.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope it helps you think, right? Just think about what you want to do. So what I'm hearing is some fear inside of you. And when I asked you, you brought something that would be heartbreaking or catastrophic was John's word in between on the break there. Is he saved? And so I think what's happening is you're coming to him trying to answer his question or control what he's doing so that you don't feel anxious about what you're fearful of.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of just bringing him your fear. Is honey, you know what I'm noticing about myself? I so adore you. I so love you. And I love that you're in church and I love that you're a deacon. But sometimes I wonder about how deep your heart goes with God. And I get fearful about that. I want to own it. Hi, my name is Jan, and I'm fearful about the level of connection you have with God. And I'm so sorry I get in your business. I get in your business because I'm trying to bind my own anxiety. But let me just bring you what I'm scared about. Because someone who's grown up with an angry, controlling, and I'm going to add controlling father, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I believe that may have some emotional disconnect from God the Father. And you may be sensing it, smelling it, but guess what, my dear? You might become that controlling, irritated wife that replicates Dad to him. It's kind of like Dad. And that's not going to help him. But if you become the warrior companion wife that is just coming to him with your fear, and see what he does with it. Stop trying to fix him and just bring him your fear. What do you think?
Okay.
Stop trying to fix him and try to find him.
Love it, Steve.
Yeah. Yep. In his heart.
Love
now,
it.
I want to give you five S's that you could discuss with him. Each of these words begins with S, and it's a discussion at some point when you feel right about, hey, I heard this guy talking about how you and I, not just him, how you and I could be better spiritual leaders in the home. And it was interesting because it wasn't all about, reading the Bible to the kids or having a devotional or anything. But here's what the guy said, and there were five S's. One, be the first to say we're sorry to each other when we are sorry for what we did. Mm-hmm. And let them see that we can make mistakes, and ask for forgiveness, and be forgiven by each other. Second, let them see in us a serving spirit, serving each other, serving our kids, serving the people in our community that are in need. See, that it doesn't get much more spiritual than helping other people.
Help and we do that all the time.
Okay. Then That's he's good. Doing some spiritual leadership there that maybe you're not acknowledging, and it would be great to say, you know, I had a model for spiritual leadership by a man. I was missing what you do, which is just so wonderful. Third thing is, let's show them proper submission. Let's submit to each other. Let's submit to God, and let them see how we can submit to the Lord in a healthy, happy way. Fourth thing, let's show them the Lord so that what we say doesn't have to be so much of their spiritual lesson. And then the fifth thing is the word seek. Let's, you and I together, let them see us seeking God's direction and will through a little bit of Bible study or quoting a scripture that applies, or perhaps they see us in prayer together. If you want to make him the spiritual leader, give him ideas of what you can do with him versus expect all of a sudden one day he's the man you thought. And adjust your expectations of spiritual leadership.
Okay. That's really helpful.
Words to remember and live by, and the mnemonic devices using alliteration really help stay in our brains. Good job, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. John, what would be a great book that you'd like for them to read to guide this whole process by?
How People Grow.
Okay.
That would be great, John, because that touches on our relationships with our parents and with God and how we get stuck.
Yep.
Fabulous offer.
And I'm going to shows the theology behind growth.
Totally get that.
I'm going to give him the double dog. I'm going to add to that, Every Man, God's Man. I was just talking to some people that was their Bible study in their church, and it really called some men out. And so we'll send that to you also. You're listening to New Life Live. We need your help. Oh, my goodness, do we need your help to stay on the air, to do the things that we do, including Women in the Battle. I want Sherry to talk to us a little bit when we come back about that amazing event. Our next Everyman's Battle is March the 7th. That's not too far away. And next weekend, Healing is a Choice and the Marriage Solution Weekend in Denver, Colorado. We would love for you to be there February the 28th. We'll take this break and come back right after this.
Everyone at some level needs help. You may have prayed for help many times and feel like you've tried everything. Let New Life's Healing is a Choice workshop help. Steve Arterburn and New Life's group counselors help you deal with your challenge.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out, defeated, stuck in the realization of my pitiful reality. I've been sinking in my circumstances and my pain.
Anger, depression, sexual abuse, abortion, grief, and other groups help you focus on just the issue you're dealing with.
This weekend has been a total gift. I feel like I finally have a game plan to follow to help healing begin.
The next Healing is a Choice workshop is Friday, February 28th through March the 2nd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with practical tools to use to get unstuck, and I leave here with five new sisters who totally know where I've been and where I am right now.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're going to one of our television viewers from Utah, Ogden, Utah, watches on the NRB Network. Glad that you do. Your name is Don. Hello, Don. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
How could we help you today?
I'm having a hard time getting along with people.
Okay.
I tried going back to church about 2 years ago after not going for most of the previous three or four, and I thought it was working out, and about a year ago, I got in a argument with one of the people, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I tried in April to fix things, and it, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, got worse.
What was it? What was the big issue that caused you to be so upset?
They said that whenever they witness to anybody, they tell them not to come to the church. They tell them to go somewhere else because they said the people there are selfish and everything. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, then why are you coming here if you don't want other people to come here?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So how can we help you? What's your question for us, Dan? We want to help you, buddy.
I don't know how to get along with people.
All right. So is that the question? How do I get along with people?
Pretty much, I guess.
All right.
Okay.
You know what I would do if I were you? I would get some feedback from somebody that helps people get along with people. Hello? Dan?
Yeah.
What do you think about
that?
I don't even know what that means, really.
Let me be more clear. There are people who have special training and how to have good relationships, how to talk to people, how to argue well, how to listen, how to be vulnerable, how to speak grace, how to speak truth. And it sounds like for whatever reason that you didn't have those skills, maybe in childhood or whatever, but that you're a very truthful person and you love God, but you rub people the wrong way and things blow up and you don't like that. There are people who can help people learn to have better relationships, and those people are counselors and therapists and coaches. And you sit down with them and you say, I get in these fights and I don't try to get in fights, and then people don't like me. And they say, okay, well, here's how you listen. Here's how you give eye contact. Here's what you say when you disagree. And here's how you soften it up. And you get these skills and then you're happy. What about that, Dan?
I went to a counselor almost at least 13 years ago, probably more.
Well, you're not even the same person as you were 13 years ago.
It was most of the reason was because at work I didn't like the people in the morning, and I thought if I'm not working at different hours, I'll feel better, and I won't be so angry about being around them. The hours changed, and I felt the same way, and I was like, well, there's only one thing in common
Dan, let me be very clear with you.
It's Don.
I'm sorry. Don, I'm going to be very clear with you here. God has a system for making people better. You call it a God show, and we're all God people. God says that when there are problems in relationships, it takes relationship to fix relationship problems. And you got to get some people. Let's see, where are you? What part of the country are you in?
Utah.
Yeah, we can find people, Don. But don't give up on wise counseling people, wise coaches. Don't give up on that saying it happened 13 years ago. God has a structure, and it involves people. You're going to have to sit down and get some real help from somebody in how you come across relationally. Now, how does that sound, Don?
I don't know.
All right, let me ask you a quick question, Don, all right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think of your childhood, what was it that makes you the most angry about that childhood?
I hated my dad and my stepdad.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So, if you hated...
I hated my stepdad so much, I told him I wanted to shoot him in the kneecaps.
Hmm. Oh, my.
I wouldn't kill him, but I would seriously hurt him.
And he was really, really mean to you, right?
I have a phrase, and it's... He had a PhD in verbal abuse.
Hmm. Okay. Now, you see that it would make sense with that kind of upbringing and being treated like that. They not only didn't teach you how to relate to people, they made you not want to relate to people. And they made you distrust people. And so I just feel for you. I'm so sorry that was your representation of older men and people that are supposed to love you. And boy, what John's saying here, there is so much a healing.
Oh, goodness.
That for you that could just make your life so much more full of joy and easy. And I bet you're going to love being around people. Once you grieve the loss of those men that they weren't what you needed, and once you go through the anger that you'd like to express and get it out of your system.
There you go.
In a healthy way.
So let me share with you a hopeful story, Don. So I had someone come to me for anger management because they felt angry quite a bit at the time. They just found themselves getting irritated and angry at people. And when I started saying, well, let's talk about what happened to you that has probably caused you to kind of lead with anger, right? Because underneath anger, there's usually one of three things, if not all three. And I think in your case, there's all three. There's hurt, meaning I have been deeply wounded. Fear, meaning I don't know where I am safe or who I can trust.
Good.
And sadness, meaning I have lost so much in my life, my heart aches every day. And when we started talking about what was underneath the anger, this person started to feel, cry, heal. And that's what someone needs to do with you. That's the person that John was talking about. Someone needs to go in and gently and lovingly get into the wound that has never been touched.
Well, when I lost my mom about 23 years ago,
yeah,
whenever I started hurting, I chose anger instead, and there were times I'd sit there and feed the anger.
Yep.
Because I couldn't comprehend being able to handle the hurt. I thought I could handle the anger better.
And yet anger hasn't served
you.
Yeah, anger hasn't served you well.
Man, that, you know what? That is just such insight, Tamara.
It's huge.
That's amazing that you're able to come up with that.
So, Don, I'm going to challenge you, buddy. Do you want help with the problem you called us with? Do you want help? Do you want to get well?
Either that or just completely give up.
I understand. It's severe. Are you willing to do it God's way? Can you hear me, Don?
I can figure that out.
We've got it figured out. I just need an answer.
But you said I can figure it out because that's what you're used to doing, Don.
Right.
You're used to being on your own, and you need some help.
So let me get your challenge again. You said, yes, I would like to change how I am acting and feeling. We like that. And then we said, are you willing to do it God's way? And you haven't answered that yet. Would you answer? I mean, you can say, no, I would rather not do it God's way, and then we'll wish you well. That you got a choice. But I'd like to know.
I don't know.
Okay. Then you're stuck, and I get that. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to have some people wait for you on the other side of the line for some helping things. You can hang up the phone after that, and I'll be very sad if you hang up. And I think we all would be because we care about you. But you can stay on the line, and people can give you some good resources, or you can walk away. Please hang up. Can't make you do anything, and God bless you. You stay on the line.
Let me at least send you the book Dave Stoop and I wrote about anger. I have one last question for you. Tell me about, as the music comes, tell me about your sense of humor.
Probably laugh about what I do more than anything else.
But you laugh, don't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, if you're still laughing, there's great hope. You're still able to see some humor in things that you do. You've already shown us insight. I think you've got a hurdle to get over, and if you'll let us help you, we'll get you over that hurdle. On the other side of it is a pretty enjoyable life, and I'm so sorry for the way these men treated you when you were young. We'll be back right after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Denver February 28th through March 2nd.
We are leaving here as new people,
and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Arterburg.
And I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, and the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with the amazing, astounding Dr. Sherry Keffer. And Sherry, you had a comment you wanted to make about this last caller or his mom.
Yeah, Don, this is for you. I know you're still on the line and you're still listening. So I want to talk through your mom. I want to be your mom for a second, because I just was left kind of holding a thought for her when we left you. I just want to say this. I am so sorry, as your mom, I left you 23 years ago, because I used to at least be a source to hold some of your pain. But I am asking you, son, will you please get help for your heart? You need some to heal, and you need someone to put some salve around all that pain. I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to ask you to do something for yourself, but please go get healing. Please don't hang up. Stay in the line, and someone wants to care for your wounds. Let them heal you.
Amen.
You know what I love about that? When Sherry did, I was feeling really emotional. It's like how God motivates us to get help through lots of ways. Like I did the kind of the father challenge, like, you know, you could walk, but I want you to stay. And then Sherry came in with this beautiful sort of mother invitation. Mm-hmm. And God has both parts to him.
Totally.
It was just how he woos us to help. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I just felt myself wanting to wrap my emotional arms around him and just hear his heart in the pain. And I just know that's what his mom would want. I know that.
I think you're right. All right, let's go to our final caller, Chris from Houston, Texas. KKHT is that station. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. How can we help you?
I just had some questions with steps how to build a stronger relationship with God.
Okay.
I mean, I know we should all, you know, desire to have a stronger relationship with Him. And, you know, what are some of the things that I can do to build a, you know, stronger foundation? You know, when I was younger, you know, a pastor came up to me, and I didn't know him, and, you know, I've never spoken to him before that, and he told me that, you know, I should be a pastor when I grow up, but, you know, I've never, you know, taken the steps to pursue that, and, you know, I think that, you know, preaching God's word is probably my calling.
Okay.
You know, I don't know, you know, which steps to take, and, you know, I've kind of, you know, struggled with that.
Okay, well, let's hear from John and from Sherry about what they think would be the next step. Not only did the pastor say it, but he feels like that could be what he needs to be in.
Well, I'm one of those people, Chris, I love the question, but I'm one of those people, I've never answered a question without having my own question, because I want to answer it without reinventing the wheel. So I'm sure, I doubt that we're the first people you've ever asked that to, right?
You guys are actually the first people I've ever asked that to.
Wow.
Well, goodness gracious. Well,
we're honored.
Thank you. Okay. When we talk about a relationship with God, God teaches us about relationships with Him through relationships with people. Like, you can't tell a 2-year-old how to relate to God. He's got to relate to a mom and dad. So I always start off with, what's it take to make a great relationship? And there are several areas to that. One of those is hearing from them. That's what the word is for. That's why we're very committed to the Bible and to the Holy Spirit and hearing from God at good sermons and messages. But another thing is experiencing, because I can read Steve's resume and Sherry's resume, but I don't know them, so I have to experience them too. That means I spend time with them, and that's in prayer and walking and talking with him and those sorts of things. And the third is being around people that represent him. I really believe that community with really not perfect people, but good, fun, cool people who love God and can tell you the truth and help you is kind of the key. And those three will stand you in good stead. Three habits to have.
I attend church, but I mean, I just feel like I'm not doing enough.
I didn't really say that. I didn't say go sit in a pew. I said,
Yeah.
Okay.
More of a fellowship.
What do you think I meant then? Like,
just fellowship more.
It's not just. I don't mean just. I don't mean having brownies and cookies, man. If you want to be a pastor, I'm talking about opening up to people about your struggles and your challenges and your feelings and where is God and your relationships and being vulnerable. I'm not talking about just hanging around a fellowship hall here. So really opening up to people. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, that a person's heart are deep waters and a person of understanding draws them out. We need to be drawing each other out of the deep, deep places.
And let me just take it another direction here real quickly, okay? One of the things that you might want to do if you think that you're being called to be a pastor is you go online, you look up Houston Baptist College or University, it might be a university by now, and you talk to their admissions counselors and you look at starting to take a Bible class or a ministry class and see how you like it. Are you relating to the people there? Do you feel like an outcast? I got to tell you, when I started going to seminary, I found home. I found I loved it. It turned something on in me, not the same for some other people. So what you might want to do is, rather than sitting around trying to figure it out, take some action and do a little research based on how well you do and how well you're honoring God through that coursework, and you'll either pursue it or you'll give it up, and you'll have answered that question. Sherry, any insight here you want to go with?
Just quickly, I would have you do what Steve said and all that and check it out, but you know, there's something in me that feels like you're struggling with feeling disconnected. Even though you're not as connected with. And while you have a calling to be a pastor, God may want to move you into being, just sharing the authority of his word. Part of a pastor is knowing how to be with, to shepherd his people. True. And if you're struggling in the area of connection and shepherding, I go, there's work to do, because God can restore you, but you got to get to work in the fellowshipping department. You got to uncover your own wounds and not just be one of those pastors that shares the authority of God's word but doesn't know how to connect well with his people.
Yeah. All right.
Can I ask one more question?
You know what? It'd have to be a really brief one, so try it.
Okay. What would you guys tell me? My wife, she
just got to ask us a question. You got to ask us a question. I'm out of time.
Okay. My wife, don't worry about it. I'll call you guys.
Sorry, man. Sorry, I ran out of time there.
If your wife is in it, then proceed. If she's not in it and doesn't want you doing it, then work on your relationship with her so that you're both singing off the same piece of music. Does that help?
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless
you. Nice call, Steve.
Glad you called. And hey, listen. We've got great resources. I don't have any from Sherry, but we're going to. She's working
Sherry
on it.
Sherry is a fount of information.
Yes, she is. People love you, Sherry, and we can't wait to get that book. But in the meantime, John and I and the other hosts here have resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you buy a book from us, then you're supporting this ministry. If you buy it from Amazon.com, it doesn't help us. So anyway, please consider getting a resource from newlife.com. We've got all that information about the services we provide at newlife.com. And if you can help us, please, please support this ministry. Thank you, John. Thank you, Sherry. God bless all of you. See you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.